Welcome to the Faith Lakeside Podcast. Each week, you'll hear another great message that will help you know God and make Him known in your life. Join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and throughout the week in small groups to make the most of your learning experiences. Now, sit back, relax with a great cup of coffee and a notebook, and enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome, friends. I wanted to share with you a couple things. You may be seated. Inspiration for today's message came from a couple different sources. In the program, Focus on the Family. You ever heard of it? Word FM, 7:30 a.m. Anyway, they had an apologist on there by the name of Lee Strobel. Have you ever heard of him? Okay. And Lee Strobel was a newspaper writer for the Chicago Tribune, atheist, hardcore atheist, and turned apologist, which the word apologetics means defense of the faith. So there are other apologists. I think of Josh McDowell. Both of them, atheists, God haters. We think of one in the scripture, the Apostle Paul, persecuted Christians. And God used him mightily in the same way these people did. But anyway, on his program, Focus on a Family, he had made the comment, the number one Googled question in the world is God real? Is God real? So let's think about that while we bow our heads and ask God for his provision today. Lord, we just come to you in humble adoration. And all we have to do is look around, look outside of what you created. You say in your word that you've put it in each one of our hearts to seek after you. That no one is without excuse. That we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And help us, Lord. Help us with our faith. Help us to believe in you, not just about you, but in you. Help us to look around, Lord, and see you. Amen. Is God real? What would you say? How do you know? Can you prove God's real? Our job as teachers and elders is to equip the saints. It says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 15, and he himself, that is Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry and to build up the body of Christ until we reach a unity in the faith and knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. And it also says in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 3:15 through 16, but in your hearts regard Christ as the Lord, as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and reverence, keeping a clear conscience, that when you are accused, those who disparage you your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. And I think about the scripture where Jesus says in John, or in Matthew 5, blessed are you when people persecute you, revile you, call you names for my sake. So as teachers and elders, we're to equip you to give a defense for the hope that lies within us. That hope is Jesus Christ. And we are also to test things. And that's not to test God, but we are to test things, as the song we just sung regarding vain philosophies. Because we live in a culture now where we all know that we are being bombarded by vain philosophies. And I think, and we can all think back to when we were growing up, not everyone condoned Christianity, but we live in a culture now where it's just vicious attacks on our faith. The people here, and this speaks of the Bereans, the people here, the Bereans, were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. And that's what I tell the children as I teach, to ask questions, to say, where is that in the Bible? But do it with respect to your teachers. But they are to say, show me. From Oklahoma. Show me. Anyway. Show me. So let's start in the beginning, okay? In the beginning, who? God, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Human beings cannot create anything out of nothing. And when I research that, we've tried. We tried to duplicate things. We tried to make clones out of animals. Man's greatest efforts cannot create anything. The Big Bang Theory, what does it say? Right? There were gases, and they heated up and they exploded, something like that. Well, where did the gases come from? You know, and that's, I tell the children as well, do this with respect, but keep asking the question, and where did that come from? And where did that come from? Finally, they will say, we just don't know. And that's when you say, well, I know. I have a book that says so. And it wasn't a human being that inspired it. It was the creator of the universe. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Go ahead to the next one. The psalmist pens down, when I observe your heavens and the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars, which you set in place, what is a human being that you remember him? A son of man, that you look after him. And, you know, we look at that, and like I tell people, just look around. You know, if the sun was any closer, we would all fry. If it was any further away, we'd freeze. If the moon was any closer, our oceans would be in turmoil. If it was any further away, the oceans would be dead and everything in them. Okay, how does that stay in place all these centuries? He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen? Go to the next. Is God real? Laws demand a lawgiver. And I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about physical laws God has put in place. And although we might try to deny them, if you were to climb up on the Empire State Building and jump off, guess what? The law of gravity, unless God intervened, the law of gravity would take over, right? So there are certain laws that are put in place. If you step out in front of a car on 79, what's going to happen, right? Unless God intervenes. So there is one lawgiver and one judge who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Okay, and people like to use that verse in Matthew 7. Who are you to judge? And actually the scripture says, do not judge lest you be judged. For the same measure that you judge, you also will be judged. And that, in other words, God's standard or measure is much higher than we could possibly attain. For the Lord is our judge, from Isaiah 55:22. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king, and he will save us. Let me read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on it, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. There'll be consequences, right? And we see those consequences after Genesis 3. And he said, that is Adam, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And then he asked, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? And the man replied, it was the woman you gave me. She gave me some of the fruit to eat to the tree, and I ate. You know, God gave Adam the command before he even created Eve from Adam. Okay? So we can surmise the end of the story where Satan tempts Eve that Adam told Eve, right? By what she says to the serpent. And we often like to blame Eve, but Adam was there too because the scripture says, and she gave him some as well, and he kept his mouth shut. Didn't say anything. So both of them are to blame. So the Lord says, what have you done? And the woman replied, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Who's he referring to? The Son of God. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you. And he said to the man, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree, which I commanded you not to eat from, the ground is cursed because of you, and you will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. And I was cleaning up some of the brush. Thorn trees. Poked. Broke my finger. Yeah, this is great. So we get it, don't we? And the woman, that you will have pain in childbirth. And all the moms said, yep. And you will return to the ground since you were taken from it, for you are dust, and you will return to dust. Grand of design demands a designer. You know, what I like to say to people that, you know, are fully convinced that this world just happened by chance. All the planets, the sun, the moon, and so forth like that. And I like to say, look at this building. I suppose it was a result of an explosion at a brick factory. And all this happened. Did you not need an architect, a mason, carpenter, plumber, electrician, HVAC people. They all came together and designed this. started with a designer, though. It started with an architect, right? Carpenter didn't come in and said, let's just build something here. We don't have any plans, but let's see how it goes. Ridiculous, isn't it? Just as ridiculous as any other story besides that which is penned down in God's Word. Just completely ridiculous. Consider the universe. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars in the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water into the sea into a heap, and he puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it came into existence. So I did some research, and this is pretty fantastic stuff. Take it for what it's worth, okay? The Hubble telescope. How far can it see? What do you think? Millions of miles? Billions of miles? Billions of light years? What is a light year? Scientists say the Hubble can see galaxies GN211, which is 13.4 billion light years away. Now, a light year is comprised of 186 million miles per second. Okay? The sun is approximately 93 million miles from the Earth. It takes approximately almost 8 minutes for it to reach, traveling 186 million miles per second. If you see the figures up there, I can't even begin to comprehend or to figure out how many million. So 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, To put these numbers into perspective, okay, 1 million seconds. 1 million seconds is 11 days. 1 billion seconds. What would you say 1 billion seconds is? 12 years? 15? 1 billion seconds is 31.9 years. 1 trillion. And who doesn't think of the national debt when we say 1 trillion, right? Is what, 27, 28? Who knows now? 1 trillion seconds is what? 100 years? 500? 1,000? 1 trillion seconds is 31,709 years. Put that into perspective when you're figuring out light years. Okay? Who remembers Star Trek? Right? What were they traveling? What was warp factor one? Speed of light, right? Incredible, right? So were these communication devices they had on the show back in the 60s. Who would ever thought, right? That we still need towers, you know? That's pretty primitive, right? Towers, really? What, you know, we just can't, you know, speak and things happen? Yeah, we're not God. So how big is the sun? The numbers here. 1.3 million Earths inside the sun. How great thou art. Amen? Amen. You didn't know you was going to get a science lesson today, did you? But you know what? What partially inspired me Sunday when we had breakfast, I was talking to some of the children, Thomas, Peter, Gwen, and Gabriel, and we were talking about how big and massive the universe was. And Gabriel said, "Do you know that the universe is constantly expanding?" And I'm like, "Why not?" So, yeah, this is just, you know, and really as we move forward in the message today and we look at some of these images, I hope the song, "How Great Thou Art," has a brand new, deeper meaning regarding our Creator. How big is the sun compared to the largest stars in just our galaxy? Our galaxy. Now, you knew, you had on here how big our sun was compared to the Earth. How big is our sun compared to the largest stars in the galaxy? Big. Real big. Gigantic. You can't even fathom. You wonder when David looked up and Abraham looked up. You know, when God said to Abraham, "Your generations, your children, will be more than the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky." And we're still counting them, I guess. I don't know. Really, what's the purpose? I don't know. Just to know. So we see on that graph how really big our stars are. And you know, a scripture comes to mind when Jesus speaks of the end of the end times. And he says that the stars will fall from heaven. So, moving on. It would take 6,489,000,000,000,000 Earths to fill the biggest star in our galaxy. That's just unfathomable. We stand outside and we look around and we might say, "Did you see the sun come up this morning?" Who says, "I got outside and I watched the Earth rotate into the sun? It was awesome." But that's what really happens, right? That's what really happens. Just you look around and you don't realize that we're just so small in our galaxy and that God spoke all these things into existence. Spoke and they happened. Just unfathomable. How great is our God? But is God real? The real question you might pose to somebody when they say, "Is God real?" is, which God are you talking about? Are you talking about Yahweh? I am that I am? Jehovah? The Messiah? The Creator? Scientists agree in our galaxy contains 100 to 400 billion stars. See, we don't really know. We're just making a guess. And is about 100,000 light years across. That's just our galaxy. There are many galaxies that we don't even know. We just can't fathom what's really out there because all we do, we stand and we look around and we see the trees and the hills and that's, you know, pretty much it unless we're in an airplane and then we can look down and say, "Oh yeah, okay, this place is really round." You know? But is God real? Scientists say that there are over 100 billion observable galaxies in the universe. Aren't these numbers just mind-blowing to you? How great is our God? You can skip that. I already did that. 1.3 million Earths inside the sun. If we counted 1.3 million seconds, it would take over 15 days with no breaks. Okay, a lot of this is just what we've already reviewed. giving each galaxy, you would spend, well, you saw it. Okay, 1 second giving each galaxy a name. Spent one, you would finish in 3,171 years. So there's a lot of them. So is God real? Intricate design demands a designer. Consider the human body. Okay, we looked at the universe. Consider us, fearfully and wonderfully made. For it was you, the psalmist penned down, who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. The average adult male has 56, remember when we looked at the numbers, trillion cells in their body. The average female, 28 trillion. That's a big number. Scientists say every second, 4 million cells die and are replaced with new ones. Every second. No wonder we're tired. But is God real? Medical researchers claim that each person has about 10 billion miles of DNA within them. Do we know what DNA does? It's the architect inside of our body, holding us together. Also, I learned that if you put the DNA that encompasses just one cell, if you stretch it out, it's 6 feet long, the DNA inside of us. That just happened, right? We just walked out of a swamp, and there we are. Scientists have discovered a family of glycoproteins called laminins. They are a major component of connective tissue holding all things together. And here's a picture of it. That's the laminin protein molecule. Looks familiar, doesn't it? I'm just saying. Is God real? According to a study by geneticists, I think that's what Allie is, isn't she? Geneticist. She said, Uncle Don, just say I study bugs, all right? But anyway, published in Nature Journal, all human beings on Earth right now can trace their lineage back to an Eve gene. Isn't that amazing? The secular scientists call this an Eve gene. A single common female ancestors whom scientists called the, of course, we got to put a name on it, right? We just can't say Adam and Eve. That would coincide with what God says. Cool stuff, right? Cool stuff. The Bible says that all humans, all mankind, all human beings come from one man, Adam. And we know that Eve was created from Adam. God took a rib, closed it up, created the woman. So, where did we get the races? Pretty simple, isn't it? I was asked this question by a coworker one time who was dark-skinned. So where did the races come from? I said, that's a simple question. God created all the races, all the genes, in one person. And he walked away going, huh. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? Is God real? Prophecy. Here are some of just 8 Old Testament prophecies. And if you Google Old Testament prophecies, you could come up with about 48. Okay? Christ to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. Preceded by a messenger. Who was the messenger? Right? Came in the spirit of Elijah. Right? Virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. Unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. Betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11:12. The price of a slave. Christ will be crucified, Psalm 22:16. And not a bone shall be broken. Rejected by his own, came to his own, but his own received him not. Isaiah 53:3. Piercing his side, Zechariah 12:10. And the Romans came up to him and put a spear through his side. Burial in a rich man's tomb. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took him off the cross, put him in a tomb. Now, the chances of just 8 prophecies coming true in one man is this figure right here. And I've heard it said it's like taking a stack of half dollars, knee high. Some of you might have heard this. Knee high, close together, and stacking them over the entire state of Texas. It's big. I've been there. It's really big. And you're painting one of them red and giving someone the opportunity, and I don't know how they would do this because you couldn't walk through them, maybe just hovering over or something, painting just one of those half dollars red and giving him just one chance to pick that out of that whole bunch. Wrap your mind around that for a minute. 1 in 100 quadrillion. Now, we might have a handle on $10,000, $100,000, maybe a little more. But a quadrillion? I'm not gifted in that. Numbers aren't my thing. Pretty fantastic, isn't it? And now when you magnify that into 48, I don't know if the number would fit on this screen. Jesus filled over 300. God always nails it, doesn't he? Always nails it. Answered prayer. Now, we know that God doesn't answer all our prayers yes, right? Sometimes he says no. Sometimes it's delayed, right? There's a story in the book of Daniel where Daniel prayed, and his response was delayed 21 days. It's very specific, isn't it? I find that very, very specific. It doesn't say 2 weeks or a month or whatever. It says 21 days because it turns out in the scripture that Michael, the archangel, was opposed by one of Satan's demons. So what's the opposite of Satan? It's not God. Satan is a created being by God. The demons and the archangels. This tells us there's a real war going on, right? But it was answered. It was just delayed, okay? And we have to keep in mind that it's according to God's will, according to his perfect will. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. That's why it's important for us, as we saw in the beginning, to search the scriptures as the Bereans did. Search them daily. Test all things. Because the vain philosophies would like to consume us. Satan is a real adversary. Now, he can't touch us without God's permission. We know that in the story of Job. Right? Without faith, is it impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists. And we say, yeah. And that he rewards those who seek him. In another translation is those who seek him diligently. In 1 John 5:22, it says, and receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Jesus told his disciples in the upper discourse, in the upper room, that if you seek me with all your heart, and if you love me, you'll be loved by the Father, and we will come and make our home with you. Jesus told his disciples, I've called you friends if you do what I command. A way of life. Let me add this in here. Even the once doubting Sir Lionel Lockhue, identified by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most successful attorney in the world, was forced to conclude after an exhaustive analysis of the evidence that God exists, that Jesus was crucified on the cross, and in 3 days he rose again, according to the scriptures. I say unequivocally, is a quote, that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels one to believe. Cool stuff. A way of life. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We were talking about this morning in our class in Sunday school. Question came up, is Adam and Eve in heaven? By faith. Abraham believed God. Right? It was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. The key, he believed. And we discussed what it means to merely believe that Jesus existed and these facts are true about him. James pens down, you believe in one God? That's great. Even the demons believe. In one of the first examples in the Bible to one who believed that Jesus was the Son of God and his power as judge, the first one to believe that was a demon. Pretty wild, right? So there's a difference, as we talked about, believing in, trusting in, and believing that Jesus merely existed and the facts about him are true. Believing in is putting your full and total faith and trust that he is the only way to God. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, when Thomas asked, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus responded by saying, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." Because in our culture today, there are those who will say, there are many ways to God. Jesus is only just one of many ways. Okay? My response to that person is, so why did God send his only son to suffer? Not just... We have no idea the separation took place between God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus cried out from the cross, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" We have no clue what the pain involved in that was. We see the physical pain, but we don't know actually what took place when he said that. In Romans 1:16-25, I feel this is what's going on in our culture today. For God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. Right? That's what's going on. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds your hands have made. The human beings, as we look at one another, we should say, I just felt compelled to do this, turn to your neighbor and say, you were created in the image of God. That wasn't hard, was it? And we look around and we say, yeah, we were created in the image of God. Let us create man in our own image after our likeness. How awesome is that? Aren't you worth more than the birds of the air? Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since creation of the world, being understood that through what he has made, as a result, people are without excuse. For they knew God, yet they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. I had a conversation with two customers, and we were standing outside. And we were talking about, as we do, go through life. I don't know whether you do this, Aaron, or not. But as you talk to customers, you talk about how, and I'll use this term loosely, jacked up the world is. You know, we talk about that. And a guy went on and on, and he's like, you know, with this election coming up, we really don't have a choice. He said, you know, we don't have a choice. I don't know who's going to fix this mess. And a voice inside me said, "You're up, Don." And I said to both of them, "I know who's going to fix this mess. He sits at the right hand of God the Father." And the other guy, one guy just and walked away. The other guy stood there and listened. And I said, and this just came out, it probably wasn't the best thing for me to say, I said, "You'd have to be a complete idiot. Look around you to know that God created everything." And then I walked and I got my truck and left, and I thought, wow, wonder if I'll get a phone call after that. But you know, as this next verse says, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. And I just think about all the foolishness that's going on in the world today. You know? And when I learned, and this is really sad, that we're putting kitty litter boxes. Yes, Steve, we're putting kitty litter boxes in our schools for children identifying as cats. Right, Aaron? Huh? Come on. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator who is praised forever. Amen. Okay? No matter what form it is, if you worship anything other than God, you're worshiping in an idol. Right? Whether it's the trees or the animals, you know, it's hard to grasp, okay? And I hope nobody's offended by this, but when you see someone pushing a dog in a stroller, where are we at? Huh? Are we there? Huh? Okay. Don't stone me for that. Don't stone me for that, okay? And it goes on to say their feet are swift to shed blood. Do you watch the news lately? Ruin and wretchedness are in their path, and their path of peace they have not known, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. Is there? They don't fear God. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And I say this all the time. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, that shall he also reap. And the scripture also goes on to say in the next verse that if you sow things according to the flesh, you will reap things according to the flesh. Right? What we see, the eye gates. What comes out of our mouth. Jesus says it's not what you eat, what makes you unclean. It's what comes out. The tongue can be a sword, right? For destruction, or it can be for lifting up. Whatever a person sows, that shall he also reap. If you stay up late Saturday nights and you're kind of out of it Sunday morning, it's what you sow, right? Whatever you think about that, whatever you sow is what you reap. That cannot be changed, cannot be distorted. Oop. I like these. Thank you, Benjamin Franklin. Of course, that was bifocals. That wasn't. But you know, it's not science that conflicts with God. It's scientists. It's scientists. If you look at some of the people in history that are outspoken atheists, you can find deep inside that they hated God. They acknowledge God, because how could you hate something or someone if you didn't believe they existed, right? Just like the man walked away, the customer. Just sad, right? It's very sad. Got a deep sadness in my heart. He didn't want to listen to that. I want to be my own God. Right? God is not mocked. We talked about a way of life. From 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us a very great and precious promise, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, godliness, and knowledge. Knowledge without self-control. Self-control without endurance. Endurance without godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And 1 Corinthians 13 ends with, and the greatest of these is love. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Right, Steve? Amen. I saw Steve mouth that. Yes. And Jesus says the greatest love that someone can show is to lay down his life for his friends. And he said, I call you friends if you do what I command. So I'll end up with this. Is God real? When someone says, prove to me God exists, I'll say, prove to me that he doesn't exist. Right? Prove to me he doesn't exist. Is God real? I think God is real, more real than we can possibly, our brains can wrap around. What we saw today, the images, the numbers, how complex our bodies are. Imagine, as science, those who study these things, that we only use 10% of our brain. Imagine if we used 100%. And we all know someone, nobody in here, right, that uses less than 10%. We see them out on the highways, right? Weaving in and out of traffic. Now, there's someone that uses way less. It's down in the decimals. But someday, maybe we will. For the scriptures also say that one day, we will see God as he is, face to face. Let's bow our heads. Father, the things we saw today and the scriptures we have read, we ask that they would remain in us. Then it would be a way of life for us. That we might continuously worship you and be in worship. To search your scriptures daily, to be more like you. For it is written, be perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. This is what we strive for, yeah? Lord, as the worship team comes up, let us praise you with all gratitude and humbleness. Amen.